Dwight Smiley was the sexton for the Presbyterian Church in Stafford, Kansas. And he would regularly signal the end of my service, sitting right there, by yawning, this huge yawn, showing me his teeth that needed various states of repair. I often found myself wanting to say, "Stay awake," just to see what would happen. Keep awake. That might be one way to summarize the last lecture of Randy Pausch. Randy was a professor at Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh, and on Friday, the 25th of July, 2008, Randy Pausch died from pancreatic cancer. He delivered his final lecture at Carnegie Mellon the year before in September of 2007, sometime after his diagnosis. In that lecture, he showed a love of life and an approach to death that many, myself included, have found inspiring. And his lecture turned into a phenomenon viewed by millions on television and on the internet and also on DVD. He went on to write a best-selling book with a columnist, Jeffrey Zaslow, entitled The Last Lecture. It's about loving life and saying goodbye. When the time came for his last lecture, he expected maybe 150 people to attend. He had bet a friend $50 that they would never fill the 400-seat auditorium. Well, Pausch lost that bet. The room was packed, and when he arrived behind the podium, he received a standing ovation. He motioned the audience and his colleagues to be seated, and he quipped, "Make me earn it." Randy hardly mentioned his cancer in the course of his 70-minute lecture. Instead, he took everyone on a rollicking and riveting journey through the lessons of his life. He talked about the importance of childhood dreams and the stamina needed to overcome obstacles. He talked about the importance of brick walls. They're there for a reason, he insisted. They let us prove how badly we want things. He pushed his audience to show patience with others, saying, "Wait long enough and people will surprise and impress you." He celebrated his mentors and his students with an open heart and reveled in the depth of his love for his family. Giving a nod to his techie background, he said, "I've had a deathbed conversion. I bought a Macintosh." I loved him for that. Keep awake. Keep mindful of what matters. That's what Randy was saying as he invited his audience to rethink their ambitions and find new ways to look at others' flaws and abilities. Keep awake to what is truly important in this life. After showing pictures of his childhood bedroom, marked up with mathematical notations on the walls, he said, "If your kids want to paint their bedrooms as a favor to me, let them do it. Keep awake to what really matters. In this case, it's our children, not our bedroom walls." After the lecture, a video of it spread like a virus across the web. His last lecture really woke people up. Then Randy gave part of his talk on the Oprah Winfrey Show, and ABC News named him one of its three Persons of the Year for 2007. People were urging him to write a book, which he resisted since he wanted to spend the time with his family, knowing he had little left. However, he did ride his stationary bike for about an hour every day to prolong his health. And he thought, "I could dictate what's important to me in life." And so he contacted Zaslow, and he dictated for 53 bike rides, and this became the book of his last lecture. Keep awake. That's what Randy Pausch says to us, and what Jesus says as well. this Mark 13 passage for this first Sunday of Advent takes place hours before he's arrested, kangaroo-courted, and executed. This lax lecture of Jesus Messiah is a disturbing passage. I could tell how disturbed you were by how badly the hymn went, which is taken from this passage. No, I know that's not it. I just chose one you don't know how to sing. Okay, as I said, I don't do that very often. But that, My Lord, What a Morning, comes directly from this passage and its parallel in Matthew. Let me read you this last lecture. Let me back up to verse 23. Jesus is talking about the end times coming, and he says, "But be alert, I have already told you everything." And then he quotes, "But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and put forth leaves, you know summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you will know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you don't know when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey when he leaves home, puts his stewards in charge, each with his work, commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. So what I say to you, I say to all. Keep awake." This is the gospel of Jesus the Christ. Now, what a passage, and I've heard lots and lots about it. Matter of fact, my grandmother, when tucking us into bed, would tell us vivid, she was a great storyteller, vivid stories of the coming of the Messiah the second time in clouds of glory and streaming light and angels bristling with divine armament come to wipe out all the bad people. And I was left with this vision, vivid vision, and a feeling of angst that a seven-year-old did not know the word for but felt acutely. And then, of course, we have people all the time saying, "Oh, I know when the second coming is coming." Jesus says, not. Mindful. Be mindful. One of my father's favorite words, particularly when I was absent-minded. My family used to tease me, "John, you'd make a great absent-minded professor, provided you could make a great professor." Be re-minded. Jesus is saying, it's going to get really awful, and it's going to end really good. And in the meantime, be mindful. Stay awake. Pay attention. Remember what I've said. Keep awake for my second coming. And as he promises, he'll come with great power and glory, bring all into his kingdom. The danger is that the disciples will miss what really matters, distracted by the various assortments and details of day-to-day life. And so Jesus says, pay attention. It's going to get really awful, and it's going to end really well. So in some smaller but very real ways, I believe that you and I face a similar temptation and difficulty in Advent. We begin our march through the wild weeks of decorating, shopping, partying, concert attending that lie ahead. Jesus is going to be coming to us very soon. Maybe not in that earth-shaking second coming, but in a personal arrival. Do you believe that? Probably this Advent, Jesus is not going to come in the second coming and wrap all of history. But I do believe, and I'm asking you, do you believe that this Advent, Jesus is seeking to come to you personally? I guess not. I believe that. And I hope that you enter this Advent with that mindset. He'll be coming to gather his people into a community that he knows his everlasting salvation forms, stretching from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. He'll be coming to see if we're alert and ready for his revival, living in a way that focused on his will. So, the challenge before us today, I believe, is for us to keep awake for the coming of the Lord during this Advent season. Well, now, John, that begs the question, how do we do that? Obviously, I'm not meaning vertical and sucking air with eyes open. But that's good. It's important. But there's more here. Four things. We begin by listening carefully to the words of Jesus. Words that can be hard to hear in the middle of the noise of the festivities of the holidays. Randy Pausch took time to leave specific words of advice for his children, saying, among other things, if I could give three words of advice, they would be, tell the truth. If I got three more, I'd add, all the time. Good words. But I think even better are the words of Jesus. From chapter 8, 34. If you want to be my follower, you must take up your cross and follow. We are called to self-denial, even in this season of rich food and expensive gifts. Whoever wants to be first must be last and servant of all, chapter 9, 35. In a season designed to focus on others, we experience this curious reversal where our self-interest is provoked and stroked, all to the end of consumption. And then in chapter 10, he says, I tell you truly, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as one of these little children will not enter it. And so I want us, first of all, to listen closely, creatively, to these words of Jesus about how to be his disciple. Secondly, I believe our text calls us to live simply, with an innocent expectation, like well-loved children, undercutting our cynicism, sarcasm, skepticism, and hopelessness. I think it calls us to stand against the sentiment and compulsive consumption foisted upon us as a glittering kind of happiness, leaving us curiously devoid of joy in this driven frenzy which attempts to drive back our personal shrouded gloom. And then in January, we contend with deepened debt. So, live simply, expectantly, harboring the mind and heart of a child. Third, clearly in this text, Jesus calls us to remain connected to community that he intends to gather when he returns. Christian faith is a team sport, not a solo endeavor. It's critically important for us to continue to get together for worship, service, fellowship, and fun. Randy Pausch continued and deepened his connection, both to those whom he loved dearly and to his communities that he'd built around him. They joked and they made fun of each other even in the face of death. On a short scuba diving vacation, Randy was putting on sunscreen, and his friend quipped, "Afraid of skin cancer, Randy? That's really putting good money before bad." And then in this holiday season, it's tempting to skip worship and head to the mall or choose a special concert over a routine meeting. But Jesus wants us to be connected to our community, especially in times where we provide extra ways of being connected. You do not know when the Master will come, Jesus says, morning, midnight, cockcrow, dawn. Remain connected in community. Finally, it's important for us to be alert and ready for his arrival. We do that by living in a way that is in line with Jesus' will and way. Again, Randy, I'm maintaining my clear-eyed sense of the inevitable. I'm living like I'm dying. But at the same time, I'm very much living like I'm still living. Randy was wide awake with a clear-eyed sense of the inevitable. We should do the same, living every day as though it were the last month on earth, doing our best to be with Jesus, to love God, and to make our neighbor's need and present as important as our own. Fact is, we don't know when our lives will end. Living each day fully with faith, hope, and love, and in a spirit of service, is the best way to live. And then Jesus' closing public exhortation. What I say to you all, keep awake. As Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King said, recalling Rip Van Winkle, who went to sleep during King George and woke up to President George Washington, don't sleep through the revolution. Keep awake. The words come to us from the last lecture of Jesus Christ, a message in a bottle, as it were, traveling through the centuries to remind us about what really matters. How will you prepare for Advent? Receive Jesus, be with him, ponder and steep yourself in his words. Receive him with a childlike faith, remain connected, and live every day as though it were part of your last week on earth. Live it in line with Christ's will and way. This is Jesus' lecture of a lifetime. Class dismissed.